goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's just lift up our hands and praise Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are worthy. Father, we love you. You are so awesome, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God is so good. That's one of our favorite family songs. And when you sit in those moments and you think truly about where you're at, but more importantly, where you've come from, you have a little bit better appreciation of God's goodness. Maybe in the moment times are hard, and in the moment things are difficult and stressful and painful, but you look back, you're like, wow, it might be bad here, but it was a lot worse back then. And so on this journey, I'm still going forward. I'm still pursuing God. And on that journey, He's been good. Praise God. You could be seated this morning. Today is Mother's Day. And we have, but before I get started, can I take a minute for some admin stuff? How many people think that I did this? No, Mom, that's not true. That's not true. There is so much work that goes on behind the scenes that so many of you don't even recognize. From Pastor Phil helping me with some of the admin stuff and some of the graphics, to the people in the booth that are putting this all on, to Sister Brittany and Sister Cecily, who, yes, let's give them all a hand. They've done a great job. I think about when I was in college and you had a group report. I always volunteered to not do the work and just present. So it just kind of flowed, I guess. No, but listen, they did a phenomenal job with the flower booths and Cecily building that balloon thing. I'm an engineer. I don't know how that works, right? Haven't figured that one out yet, so props to you, Cecily. So today for Mother's Day, we're about to be giving out some flowers. So, brother, you can come down with the list. But before we do, I want to honor two special women in the house right now. And one of them's just walking in. Sister Darlene and Sister Lois Grant. Those are our senior pastor and our bishop's wife. Can we give them a hand for Mother's Day? I didn't pick two random ladies. I picked our senior pastor's wife and our bishop's wife, who have been our spiritual mothers in this church and in this church community for such a long time. So from our heart to yours, thank you so much, moms. And you don't have to get your name drawn. We've already drawn them for you. You won. It was not random. We just bought you extras, okay? And somebody seems to know what kind of flowers you like. One other note is typically we hand out like 12 of these, but this year there was a young woman who decided, you know what, I want to help out. And she brought her own two flowers to donate. Sister April, where are you at? Sister April, we love you. Thank you so much. So with that said, do we have the basket? Did I miss the basket? Oh, Sister Linda, thank you so much. Now this morning, there is actually a rotation. Jack, Ragnar, come on up here. Yep, it's your turn. Okay, what we've done is, as you've come in, they've taken your names. Hopefully, they've stopped you if they missed you, right? And so we have all the mothers' names in this basket, and we're going to draw them one at a time, and then we'll put them on the flower that you choose. So when I draw your name, come on down and put it on a flower, and we'll put your name on it, and then after church, you can pick it up. How's that sound? Good? Okay, awesome. So we're going to start with the first name. Draw a name out of there, bud. Okay, here we go. You can get ready with the second one. Cecily Grant. Wow. Where'd she go? Cecily? Oh, she's going to pick it out? Okay, come here. You pick out the flower. Put this right on top of the leaves, okay? Well, the one you want. Which one? You can pick any. Oh, this one. That's very pretty. Look at that. Oh, right there. Very nice. Good job. Nope. Leave it right there. Leave it right there. You can go back to Mom now. Give her a big hug. Next name. So that's one. Next name is Sister Linda Brown. Put them all in there. Don't draw them till I tell you. Both sides are available. Thank you, Jack. Yeah, Jack, that one didn't even have a $5 bill in it. What? Oh, sorry. That one right there. Okay, get ready with the next one, Jack. Okay, here we go. Sister Bo Uselman. Where'd she go? Happy Mother's Day. Did she step? Sister Bo? Oh, right there. Bev. Okay, I get it. Yep. And that is why they have gotten rid of cursive in the public school system. Okay, Sister Bev, happy Mother's Day. I'm sorry for butchering your name. Which flower would you like on either side? There's so many choices. You got ready with the next one? Okay, good. They're all beautiful. Oh, that one. Okay, we'll just put this right here. And you can come get it after service. We get to use it as a decoration until you pick it up. Okay, and Sister Pam Carpenter. Happy Mother's Day. Brother John, are you going to come help? Thank you, sir. Thank you. You can pick the next one, Jack. He's doing a good job of mixing, okay? That's good. If you want to take this and just put it on whatever flower you want so you guys can see it. Okay, Jack, what do you got? Jessica Rivest. She's running the camera. You have no preference. Okay. We're going to go with the purple one, Jessica. Okay, there we go. Next one. Okay, put those back in there. We draw one at a time. Okay. Leandra Peterson. Come on down. Pick out a flower. Happy Mother's Day. You can get the next one ready. You're going to help mom? Come on down. So there's some on that side too, but if they have a tag on them, you can't choose those. Which one? Oh, that one's taken. The big one? Look at all the pink. Oh, look at that. It's like, look at all those little treats. No one saw those. Well done. Okay. Okay, Jack, what do we got next? Alicia McConville, new mom, come on down. See, she's even got proof. This orange and yellow one, oh, that's beautiful. Okay, here we go. Oh, you're running behind, dude. What do we got? Juanita Hittestorf. These three are available, and then there's more over there. So that pink one, the big pink one's taken, but this pink one's available, and that pink one's available. So I guess those two are too. This one? Okay. Now let's count this here. One, two, three are left over here, and then four, five, six are left over here. This is one. There's like different colored flowers, different kinds. Okay, six. We got six left. We're doing good. Keep it up. Here we go. Sister Jan Rager. Sister Jan. You want me to pick one for you? Okay. I got you, Sister Jan. Right there. Okay, next one. Virginia Saldana. Virginia, come on down. You can pick out a flower. Oh, there she is. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Are you going to pick one out for Grandma? Come on down. Okay, on this side we have these two are available, and then the other side we have a couple too. Which one do you want? Oh, that's a very pretty one. Very well done. Good job. Okay. Tanya Degenhart. Come on down, Tanya. There's an orangish pink one right there with different greens, and then there's three over here, Sister Tanya. Purple, yellow, and white. The purple? Yes, ma'am. I recognize the irony here. It's Mother's Day, and we're giving you something else to nurture. But it is always fun to have flowers on your property. Sister Melissa Liddle. Oh, you're going to pick one out? Okay. We got that one and then one over there. This one. Oh, that's a good choice. Look, the paper even matches. Look at that. Okay. I think we got two more, Jack. What do you got here? Two more. We got one. It's a yellow one and a white one. Sister Lauren Neesom. Okay, this is the last name. Shake it really good. Where's Sister Lauren? Did I miss you, Sister Lauren? Okay. Come on down, dude. We can do yellow and green or white and pink and green. What do you like? Yellow. That'll look good. That'll look good. Good job. Okay, last name, Jack. Get us a good one. Okay, and then let's see here. And then you can take this all the way back to Sister Linda, okay? No running, okay? Thank you so much for your help. At the back door. Yes. Okay. And the last name, Sister Kayla Powell. Woo! You don't have to come up, Sister Kayla. There's only one left. Oh, happy Mother's Day, Sister Kayla. So, this thing's magnetic. So, it is Mother's Day, right? And it's pretty rare for me. You guys all know I grew up in this church. But some time ago, my parents moved away, and now they attend a different church. So, it's very rare that my mom is here. And so, I wanted to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, who is a mom of three, one of them being very intelligent and handsome. A nana of 11, and she's just a giver, and she cares, and I love you, Mom. I just want to say happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. So, we are going to have a conversation today. Some of you are wondering what a conversation is. It's paper flowing all over the place. It's okay. It's paper flowing all over the place. And before we get too far started with this conversation, I've invited three ladies up to talk, but really I've invited four because I want my wife to come up first. She's going to be helping me today. This is my wife and the mother of our children. I love this woman, not just because she's beautiful and we've been together a long time and she knows me and puts up with me, but she's a phenomenal mother, and she hates this right here, okay? She's a phenomenal mother who cares and is always wanting to learn and get better. Even when things are not perfect, she's like, how do we get better? And that's, I appreciate that about you, so thank you, okay? Love you. Okay, so we have three women that we've asked to come up here, and we're going to have a conversation with them. And so one by one, I'd like to bring them up. Sister Nazli Vega Martinez, come on down. Let's give her a hand. Thank you for coming down. You can pick whatever seat you want, okay, because you're the first one up here. And there's water in these coffee mugs, okay, just in case everybody knows. And then we'd like to have Sister Madeline Rossing to come down. She's our next person. This is the, come on down. Yes, good. Thank you for helping us this morning. Pick any seat you want. And then lastly, Sister Lori Thompson. Sister Lori, thank you for being a part. That's my mom, right? That's what I said. Okay, ladies, be careful. There's a mic on your seat. You can grab the mic and you can have a seat. We're all going to sit down. I'm going to tell everybody it's just like at home. I'm going to get rid of all the pillows first. Okay. Okay, so this is how it's going to work. I'm going to talk to you guys first, but I'm excited about these mothers who graciously agreed to speak. Ladies, it's okay if you're nervous, okay? Even I get nervous when I come up here, okay? This is normal, okay? Just be comfortable, okay? Remember, this is just a conversation amongst us, okay? You guys just get to watch and take part and maybe hopefully learn something, okay? So it's relaxed with a lot of people watching, okay? It's like being a YouTuber, right? So just think of it that way, just the five of us having a conversation. And Casey and I, I'll probably ask a lot of the questions, but we'll share as well, okay? And then hopefully, I think the goal we've talked to you is about everybody hearing from God a little bit today. And I think God has something in what we're going to talk about for everybody in this room, and maybe even us sitting up here, right? We all have something to learn. For all of you, just so you know, this is not like I've prepared most of these questions. I've given them in advance, right? And so I've worked with the team. We've got some good questions. They are prepared, right? I'm not going to completely surprise them for the questions, okay? And so are we good? Can we do this? Just a conversation? Yeah. Don't drink too much of the water too quickly. You'll have to go to the bathroom. Okay, that's my tip. That's why when I'm preaching, I wait till about halfway through to start drinking. Okay, so with that said, I already introduced your name. Before we get into the questions, can we just start with prayer? Is that okay? Can we just pray that God has his way in this conversation and that he leads us the way he wants us to go? Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, Father, for being in this place. God, thank you for your spirit that is working in our hearts and our minds. God, I pray that your spirit would guide this conversation. God, that your word would not go forth void, but it would touch every heart of every mom, of every woman out there, God, today. Lord, let us hear your heart in this matter, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, so we're going to start out with a couple simple questions. Am I too close or too far? Is this good? Okay, there we go. Okay, no. We're going to start out with a couple simple questions, okay? And we'll just go down the row. Okay, we're going to start with Sister Lori. My first question for you is, okay, so this is Sister Lori Thompson. How many kids do you have?
Two.
Two kids. Okay, awesome. Sister Madeline. Oh, sorry, are those boys or girls? What do you got?
Two boys.
Okay, awesome. And their ages. Oh, yeah, good question. Use your mic. Yes. And their ages, too.
19-year-old and 14-year-old.
Two boys, 19. I am sorry. That's awesome. Yes. Sister Madeline, how about you?
I have three boys, and they're almost 19, almost 17, and almost 14.
Oh, wow. Awesome. And Sister Nazli?
I have six kids. I have a 17, almost 18-year-old daughter. I have a 13-year-old son. I have a 9-year-old son, a 6-year-old daughter, almost 7. 4-year-old son, almost 5, and then we have a 6-month-old baby.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
So we have three boys and three girls.
Three boys and three girls. Okay.
I'm waving at you. I see you.
Awesome. And so let's do this. We'll go the other way. How long have you been married, Sister Nancy?
We've been married for about 15 years.
15 years. Yeah, that's good. Rough is good. That's good. Sister Madeline. And your husband is brother?
My husband is brother Roberto back there.
There we go. Good to see you. Okay, good. Sister Madeline?
Jeff and I have been married for almost 26 years.
Wow.
And I'm going to make him stand up.
Yes. Oh, she's got the mic, Jeff. Thank you. And Sister Lori?
I have been married about 4.5 months. To my boy's dad. We were married 18 years.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Last question here as we start to roll into it. These are the three I didn't prep you for, but they're uncomfortable too. We're just getting them to know us a little bit, okay? They're not. I just pretend that way. It makes me feel better. So did your families do something for you for breakfast this morning? How's this work? Or did you make breakfast? What'd you guys do?
So I will tell you, my husband went and got me my favorite breakfast sandwich. Ooh. But because I'm so nervous, I'm like, I'm not eating that. Because I'm just too nervous.
How about you, Madeline?
I made my own breakfast.
Yes, that's okay. Sister Lori?
Sundays are kind of that way. We're like every man for himself. And then we get to church on time. So.
That's why we use the donut fairy, which is called DoorDash. Okay. DoorDash from Dunkin' Donuts is the donut fairy. So I want to start with some simpler questions here this morning. And the first one is, what is a practical, everyday piece of advice for mom? So we're not talking deep spiritual thoughts here. Maybe something simple like, you know, use smaller garbage bags. I don't know, whatever it is. What's a practical, everyday piece of advice for mom? Who wants to go first? Well, hold on. Casey, could you give us an example of one first so we get an idea of the level here?
I would say to send them outside to play.
Send them outside. Okay, that's good. Okay, what about you guys? Madeline, you can go first. We'll go.
Sure. My
advice is to have baby wipes. I carry baby wipes with me all the time. So even though my kids are teenagers, I've got them in my car. I've got them in my purse because you never know when you're going to need them.
Yes. Okay. Sister Natalie, how about you?
I think for me, a piece of advice that I would give any mother, including myself, because I really do struggle with this a lot, is don't compare your children to others.
Mm-hmm.
If you have multiple children, don't compare them to each other because they're all different.
Mm.
And as a mother, don't compare yourself to others.
Mm.
I want to kind of give a little more on that.
Go for it.
You know, every child is different. And in the world, everywhere you go, if you go to the doctor's office, they're comparing your child's weight, their height, everything to other children. You know, if you send them to school, where is your child at academically? What are they learning? What do they know? What do they not know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it's not okay for you to compare your child to others, but it's not okay for you to overly compare your children to others.
Mm.
Because, you know, I feel like that steals the joy that God has placed in my life as a mother, in my children's life, because we just get so worried all the time that we're not doing the right thing, we're not enough, you know, our children are not learning, they're not where they need to be. I have six kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're all different. My kids grow differently. Some are taller than others. Some are having chunkier than others. Some learn how to read before others.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't sit there and compare. You know, I've always heard and, you know, God has told me that he has made every single person different according to his image. And that really means that, you know, God means what he says. He means that he has made me different. Therefore, it is not good to compare, you know, ourselves as mothers, our children to other children. And just trust God that he is developing your child in every way, shape, and form according to his image.
Awesome. Thank you. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Lori, what's something practical for you?
Okay. So I'm not sure this is the answer that you're looking for, but something practical. And it might sound mechanical or whatever at first, but I find I have the most physical and emotional energy right away in the morning. And so just first thing in the morning, hug your kids.
And that's cool.
Just give them a hug. And before anything else happens, anything bad or, you know, whatever, start the day out with a hug.
So there's bad things that happen sometimes? Yeah. Yes, 100%. Yes. Okay, a little bit of a fun question here. Do you have what's the most bizarre or funny thing one of your children has ever done? And please name names.
I'm going to start.
Yeah. Oh, this is good. Children, pay attention. Moms.
Obviously, I have a million things that I could bring up because I do have multiple children. But one thing that has recently come up, my son Israel, where is he? Oh, he's back there. Okay. So I was nursing Fiel in my living room and, you know, not paying attention. And out of nowhere, Israel comes up to me with his middle finger up. And I'm like, what are you doing? What is going? Why is he flicking me up? What is happening? You know? And it took a little time for me to realize that he had grown a wart on his finger.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, all right. He's not doing anything bad. And then, you know, I grab a Band-Aid, put it on him, and I thought it was over and done with. Well, just on Wednesday when I was talking to someone up here, out of the corner of my eye, I see Israel with his middle finger up, going up to an adult. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I really hope the adult doesn't think he's flicking him off. So I ended my conversation and I ran over and I'm like, I gotta explain to you what is going on here. He is not flicking you off. He just has a wart on his finger that he's very proud of. And he's just trying to show you that. So guys, if you see my son with his middle finger up, please don't think he's flicking you off. We have taught him well.
Yes.
But that is one of the bizarre things that recently came up.
Awesome. Madeline, can you share some?
Yeah. A lot of you know my boys, and I have a lot of crazy, ridiculous, and embarrassing stories that I could tell about them. But the one that kind of came to my mind first when I saw this question was when my kids were a lot younger. And I had my dad over for lunch, and I was nursing Oliver, so he was very little. And
he was ready for a nap. And so I left my dad downstairs. I had changed Oliver's diaper in the living room, and the diaper was full, like mega full of pee, not number two. And so I folded up the diaper and left it on the ottoman and took Oliver upstairs. I was gone for less than 5 minutes. Oliver is awesome. He's an awesome sleeper and always has been. God bless me with that child. So I put him to sleep and then came downstairs, and there was a mega diaper explosion all over my living room and my dining room. So Nolan and Madden decided to use that diaper as a football. So those absorbent little beads inside the diaper, full of urine and super sticky. You cannot clean them up. So they're whipping it across there. It was in their lunch, which was on the dining room table. It was all over the table, all over the floor, on my island, all over my carpet in my dining room, on my furniture. I just went down there and froze. Like, I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, how do I begin to clean this up with these two crazy boys running around? And then I look over at my dad, the babysitter, sitting on the couch with his cute little hat folded down over his eyes. So that was one of my funny stories. And, of course, I had to take pictures because I couldn't clean it up right away because that stuff, you can't vacuum it. It's just ridiculously hard to pick up those little beads that are full of pee. So I locked them outside on my deck until I could clean up the mess because I didn't know where else they would track that stuff. So
the deck that doesn't have a stair, so it's literally locked, right?
Yes, our old deck didn't have stairs, so I could lock. It was like a playpen outside, so I could just lock them out there, you know, give them a dish of food or whatever, be like, you're good.
Yeah. That's in other countries, they call that prison, but here it's still. Sister Lori, what's something bizarre that happened in your house?
I had to think a little bit, and I talked with each of my sons. Okay, this is a question that I'm going to have, you know, and I tried to have them help me think of something. So Luke actually left the room. And he comes back in with the shirt wrapped around his head and starts acting like a crazy boy. I'm like, Luke, that's not really that bizarre or crazy or funny. But one time when Seth was five or something, he's always been into cars because his dad was into cars. And we used to pick up Sister Jenny for church. And when we were picking up Sister Jenny, we left Seth up in the front. And the shifter was so interesting to him all the time. So he was alone up there and he moved the shifter. All of a sudden the vehicle starts going forward and he jumps out of the car, and then Jeff had to dive into the front seat and hit the brake, and it was all good. But
oh, that's funny. That's good. Casey, could you share one? Who are we calling out today? Do we know a name?
We're going to talk about Mila.
Mila, yes.
So we're always trying to teach in the moment, and during dinnertime prayers, we stopped and said, kids, do you know why we pray before our meal? And she says, yeah, so we can let our food cool down.
Yep. Yeah. I think the lesson is here. We're all learning, right? We figure it out as we go, right? Now, that's not why we pray, but it is a side effect of it, right? So she was, yeah, sorry. I'm not going to try to excuse it. Okay, these are easy ones, right? Let's get into some deeper questions here. What do you think is, you could probably go on a long time, but briefly, what do you think is the hardest part of mothering? We'll go this way again.
I think for me, the hardest part of mothering is seeking the will of God in my children's life and obeying it. Mm. You know, it is, since the moment that I found out that I was pregnant with my first child, I already had a future plan in my mind of what I wanted my kids to be, where they went to college, what I expect from them. And as I grow in God, little by little, God is showing me that he has other plans for my child.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's already hard enough for me to pray for myself. It's hard for me to fast for myself, for my own life, and for God's will in my life, for me to fast for myself and pray, read my Bible. But now God has given me all these little kids. Now I have to do it for them too, you know? And I have to remember that sometimes when I go to God, he's going to have different answers than what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. That can be through a sermon. It can be through the Bible. But most of the time, it's through my husband. And do I want to submit? Do I want to listen to God's voice? Not always. It is very difficult for me to know that some things that, you know, I think are right need to be changed. And, you know, after God speaks, the next part is obeying it. That has been very difficult at times because, like I said, I don't always agree. So to me, it is very important, you know, to tell God, you know, God, these are your children. They're not mine. I have to trust you, whether it is changing everything that I have hoped for and planned. And I have to obey. I have the choice to obey or not. But I know that when I obey, God backs me up.
Yeah. That's such a tough perspective when you think about that. Just in life, I know it's for mothers we're talking about here, but this idea that, hey, I want something for my kids, but maybe God is wanting something for me. That's a really good thing. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Madeline, what do you find is the hardest part of mothering?
Knowing when to pull the reins back and knowing when to let them go.
Oh, that's good.
Our kids will make their own decisions, and sometimes they're the wrong ones. And we can't always control the choices that they make. They're human beings. We make wrong decisions. They will, too. The important thing is that you let them know that you love them regardless. You're proud of them no matter what, and that you're always there for them.
That's good. Thank you. Sister Lori, what have you found to be difficult or the hardest part of mothering?
Mine sounds very similar to Madeline's. It's knowing when to, especially at this point in my motherhood, is backing off, you know. And that I was really a big part of their lives when they were little, but as they grow up, you know, then I got to know how to step back in according to their age and let them make their decisions.
That's good. Thank you. I'm going to skip a question here. This one is more about you, okay? And it's a little longer question. I'll try to explain how I'm thinking about it. But how has being a mother changed you or helped your relationship with God? Okay, maybe there's a moment or something you've had with your child where God has showed you something about you in that. Or maybe as you've mothered through the years, you've picked up something different. But I just feel like when we add somebody in our life that's completely dependent on us, it's got to change how we think about ourselves. Maybe how we act as a human or how it helps or hurts. I don't want to say hurts, but helps our relationship with God. So how about that for you? How has being a mother changed you or helped your relationship with God? Who wants to go first? Sister Madeline?
Sure. Being a mother, there's a complete selflessness to that. And so I think your perspective changes as far as realizing how much God loves you when you have that love for a child. And then also when you pray for, you know, the, like, I pray that God helps me to love people and to display that love to so many people that I work with. And I think because of that selflessness, you kind of see people differently maybe in a different light, or that's how it is for me anyways.
So you're saying like you have kids and now you have to be less focused on me and it's like this training ground to where now you're less focused on me. And so now when you see other people, it's more natural to be focused on others.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Which sometimes is bad because you need time for yourself.
Yeah.
You're very focused on others. And
there's a balance there, I'm sure, right? We need time for ourselves, especially mothers, right? That's good. Thank you for sharing. Sister Lori?
It sounds a lot like yours, too, again.
That's
so
okay.
I was single for a long time, like till I was 33, and I got married. So then I realized how selfish I was, taking care of myself, making sure I had enough money to pay my own bills, and you know, making little plans for my own agenda and stuff. Well, and then I had a husband to take care of, and then when I had kids, it totally changed, and it really helped me to not be so selfish, and I didn't even realize how selfish I was until I had kids and looked back.
Yeah.
And not that I've ever, not that it's self-praise, but it's out of necessity.
Yeah.
You have someone else to think about, you know, than just yourself.
Do you think it's easy, before we go to Sister Natalie, you had similar answers there, and then I'm thinking back to something we talked about at the end there, Sister Marilyn, that you said, do you think it's easy to then go the opposite way, like too far the other way, where it's like, oh, I'm not taking anything for myself, and then it creates burnout and issues, you know, because it's like, because there is this, you do notice you're selfish. Even I'm not a mom, but as a father, I'm like, well, I'm pretty selfish. Like, I gotta do time with the kids, right? But do you think that it's easy to go the other way too far then and be too much selfless to where we don't get the proper time we need for ourselves or and or with God? How so? Have you seen that? It might just be a yes answer. Then probably, it was a bad question. But
I think, you know, there were times in my, especially when my kids are little, I get bitter, you know, and I don't have any time for myself. I just need to, that was my recharging time was having charge to my time for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I would kind of get overboard that way, and then I'd have to back up and say, okay, now I got to, you know, pay. It was kind of like going back and forth and trying to find the
finding that equilibrium. There's a little bit for them, a little bit for me. Trying to find the
now.
That's
I'm good. Okay. This is too much me now again, and come back.
Yeah, we're all learning, right? Throughout this, Sister Madeline, did you have something you want to share?
Yeah, it causes burnout. So when my kids were little, I was also taking care of my aging parents, and so there was not much time for me or for Jeff and I as a couple. It's taxing, and so I remember, like, after my parents passed away, just feeling, like, completely exhausted. And so I said, okay, I'm quitting teaching Sunday school for now because I have to, like, just, I just need to, like, recoup. Mm. So your family is your ministry. Don't forget that. They require a lot of energy and time. So don't spread yourself too thin. Otherwise, you are going to burn out, and then you're not going to be help to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So back to the original question, how has being a mother changed you or helped your relationship with God, Sister Nosley?
Well, I feel like being a mother has definitely changed the way that I understand more how God views me. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. I've done things that I feel like God will never forgive me for. Mm. You know, I feel condemned. I feel ashamed. I feel like I'm so far from God that there is nothing that's going to ever bring me close to him. But then God made me a mom. And then I, little by little, as I get closer to him, I realize that my relationship with my children is a reflection of my relationship with God. There is nothing my kids could ever do that would make me stop loving them, that will, you know, stop me from reaching back to them, helping them, wanting the best for them. And God is no different with me. You know, God reminds me through motherhood that there is nothing in the world that I can do that will separate me from him other than myself.
That's good.
His forgiveness, his love, his mercy is what makes me the mother that I am with my children. So I feel like it's just a reflection of my relationship with God and my understanding of who God is because of who he was for me. So that is how I feel like that reflects with God.
That's really good. It's almost like a really good cycle to where having the children helps you realize, wow, I'm willing to give forgiveness and love for stupidity and craziness or whatever. Wow, I guess God could do that for me then.
Right.
And then when you recognize that, you can pour more into those children, into the people in your life. That's a pretty cool cycle. Thank you.
And I feel like it just makes it easier for me to come to God when there's a problem, when I do fall. It makes it easier for me to recognize those things and run to God versus running away from him.
That's good.
Because I want my kids to run to me, not away from me.
None of it. That's good. That's right. Good. Casey, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like every time I have to explain to my kids that you may not understand it right now, you may not agree, you may not like this, but I promise you it's all going to work out.
Yeah.
And then it's like as I'm saying that, I'm hearing God tell me the same thing. You know, that it's okay. You might not see the full plan right now, but he's working it out.
That's good. Can you share a moment where there was joy, immense joy in raising your kids? Maybe it wasn't an exact moment. Maybe it's looking back in reflection or something like that. Could you share some time when there was immense joy in raising your children? Go ahead, Nazi. We'll work this way.
I've had immense joy when I see my children up here in the altar crying out to God, receiving the Holy Ghost, worshiping Jesus. And I'm going to get a little personal here, but the devil tried to destroy my family. He tried to take everything that I had. My marriage was broken, divorce. And I never saw the day where my kids would be here worshiping God. And seeing my kids worshiping God, living for God, brings the most joy to me.
Mm. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Sister Madeline, how about you?
When they're sleeping.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that too. Very similar. Yeah.
Seriously, sometimes I feel like that. But I would have to agree with Nosley. Like, no matter how many dumb things they do, sometimes it seems like it's just endless. But they've been taught to love God. And I'm thankful for that because they do go back to that. So even when they're making those dumb mistakes, they still pray. They still know how to pray. They know where to go when they're in trouble. So yeah. I'm kind of on the same line with Nosley on that one.
Sister Lori?
Yeah, when I see them trying to be a good person, like being compassionate or helpful or, you know, forgiving or whatever, I just... one time I spilled something on the counter, spilled some milk, you know, the typical is spilling milk. And Luke came around the corner. That happens sometimes, you know. Seth is, you know, helping or always wanting to help and asking me if he can bring something home. Or, you know, when I see them striving to be a good person, that really brings me joy.
That's good. So let me dig in a little bit deeper then, and any of you can answer this, but... These things bring us joy, right? But what is it about these things? Is it hey, you know, like I've done a good job, or what is it about that that's like, oh, I feel joy from that? Madeline, you were...
I think it's just love.
It's just love?
I think it's
how
just
so?
The fact that you love your kids so much that I couldn't narrow it down to one moment.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like there's so many moments in parenting where you have to slow down and just appreciate. I freeze frame moments where I'm like, stand back and I see my kids goofing around, and I've done this through stages of their life, and I'm like, freeze frame. People take pictures. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll take pictures. I'm really bad at that, but I mentally freeze frame, and I'll even tell my husband, freeze frame, where it's like, I just want to enjoy this moment before it goes nuts again.
But so what I'm hearing, though, is it's yes, there's things that bring joy, but it's not like this one event, right?
No.
It's a collection of relationships and things that happen, and really a progression of their growth and your impact and God's impact on that. So am I hearing that right? Sorry, maybe I'm not hearing that right. Okay, they're all nodding.
Are we agreeing with you?
Yes, no, you can, or you can say no, too. It's okay. My wife's here. We disagree. So... okay, so let's keep it on this joy thing. This joy that we're talking about, can joy exist with other things, do you think? Can joy exist with pain or sadness or change or anger? Is there an example where you've seen this in your life? Sister Nosley, we'll work this way.
Definitely. I've seen it 6 times. I've been pregnant 6 times. I've given birth 6 times. You know... There were a lot of emotions being pregnant. Hmm. There was anger. There was joy. There was pain. There was suffering. There was a lot of things in that, you know, and just seeing how wonderful God is and how great he is to give me the opportunity to carry these children. And I just feel like there was definitely a lot of joy and everything. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret here. I don't love being pregnant. I don't know who came up with this, that I love being pregnant, because I've had people come up to me and, you know, it's so easy for you because you just love being pregnant. I don't think anybody loves being in pain. I definitely will tell you that there was a lot of times where there was doubt, there was discomfort, there was pain. Definitely during childbirth, there was a lot of pain. But for me, the most important thing through it all was doing God's will. God placed those kids in my life for a reason. And seeing their beautiful little faces as they come up here and worship, as they help out other people get closer to God, I can't get more joy than that.
That's awesome. Thank you. Madeline, could joy exist with other things? Is there an example where you've seen this?
Yeah, absolutely. I think life can be hard, and you experience all of those emotions, the anger, sorrow. But you can still have joy. You can have joy constantly through all of that. And I guess an example that I'll talk about is when both my parents were dying, and having my kids help feed my mom. Like experiencing that joy when someone's dying and having my children be there helping compassionately. Or when my dad couldn't talk anymore. And Madden is just such a happy-go-lucky little guy. He's got a little board and he's all creative trying to communicate with my dad. It was joyful, even though there he is dying. So, yeah, absolutely. That's my one example.
Those are great. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Lori.
I think it depends on what kind of pain you're going through. Sometimes pain can be so strong and so, yeah. You know, the change that you're going through is so deep that the joy just gets smothered for a while, but love is still there,
mm-hmm.
and hope is still there.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what you know to do, and the joy will come back.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think a lot of times we think that in every situation, it's either joy or not, right? But it doesn't have to be. And in some situations, we're struggling, right? There's some ups and downs, but like that's a misnomer, I think, that this, like, you either have joy or you have anger. You either have joy or you have sadness. Like, no, I can experience joy because it's more than an emotion. It's something that comes into our lives. And we're wrapping up. A couple last questions here. This is more of a, let's do this one as kind of a quick hitter. What is one piece of advice you would give to moms in the context of raising their children to follow God?
Lead by example.
Hmm.
And I'm going to tell you guys a little bit really quick.
No, go.
So last Sunday I was praying in the breastfeeding room. You know, the pastor has encouraged us to pray for boldness. So I'm like, Lord, give me boldness, whatever it takes, whatever it is, just give me boldness, please. I walked out. I walk into the sanctuary and I turn around and I see Peter with my husband and I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is not the type of boldness that I need, Lord. This is not for me. Before Peter even said anything to me, I already know where he was headed. I approached him and he asked me, are you willing to speak for the mothers event on Sunday? And I'm like, sure. I really didn't mean that, Peter, and you know that.
I know that. But you were obedient.
I was, yeah. And we'll get to that. But I went home, and before I even got in my car, I was shaking. I'm like, I feel sick to my stomach. What am I doing? What am I going to say? I don't even know. I text Casey. He better send me the questions right now. I text Madeline. I don't know how I'm going to get up there. But you know what? Even last night, I'm just going to be honest, I literally sat in my bedroom crying. I had tears. Like, Lord, why would you do that to me? Why would you put me up there when you know I'm so shy and I really don't like public speaking? And after that, I went downstairs and I just started praising God. I just said, Lord, thank you so much for bringing this opportunity to me because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be up there. I don't deserve to have these children. I don't deserve anything. And I know you're going to speak through me because I know that before I was even born, you already knew I was going to be speaking up there. And the thing for me is, you know, my daughter sings. We encourage her to be bold. We encourage her to be bold and teach in Sunday school class. Our children encourage them to come up here. And I can't tell my kids to do something if I'm not willing to do the same thing.
That's good.
How can God, you know, how can I expect my children to pray, to read their Bible, to fast, if they don't see me doing it first? I need to lead by example. And that's what I would say for myself.
Thank you. That's very good. Thank you for sharing. And I'm sorry for the pain.
I'm not mad at you anymore because I feel better now.
Thank you. Thank you. See, this hasn't been super painful, right? We've got there's still waters here. Yes. Okay, good. Sister Madeline, what's a piece of advice you'd give mom in the context of raising their children to follow God?
Side note, it would be less painful if there was real coffee in this cup.
that's fair. Yeah.
That's good. One of my bullet points is lead by example. I don't feel like I should be giving advice, especially right now in my life, but I think that during the teenage years, kids will struggle. Some kids are amazing. They're angels, and maybe they won't struggle. But they need someone to talk to. So if they don't feel comfortable telling you everything, that's okay. Like, it's nothing against you, per se, but they need someone who's godly, who can maybe give them advice or just listen to them. And so I think that if you can find someone like that, that your child can just talk to, that that's really important. In my house, I have one child who can talk to me, but not about certain things. And he feels 100% comfortable talking to my husband, who's very level-headed about certain situations, and I'm very thankful for that. But there's a lot of other people, even right here in this church, that I'm thankful for, because I know that my children can go and talk to some really great mentors and leaders, and I think that's important.
Thank you. Sister Lori, how about you?
Besides preaching to them, not in a Bible-thumping way, but, you know, sharing, a situation comes up, sharing about the biblical point of view of what's happening. Of course, living out so that you can preach it, you got to have the life to back that up. But as Madeline was talking, I was thinking, you know, how they don't always want to open up to you and share, but just being present, you know, not saying anything maybe, but just being in the same room, and then maybe the comfort level will rise and a conversation will come up, and that'll be a moment that you can have with them.
That's good. Thank you. Casey, what about you? What do you think?
I agree. I think just keeping the conversation open. I'd always tell my kids, you can ask me anything. So talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I had one more question, but I feel like we've answered along the way. I was like, how have you had to learn to rely on God as a mother? Right? And I think we've hit on that a bunch already, but is there anything you want to add to that? It's okay if the answer is no.
Well, you know, when I read that question, I'm sorry that I'm taking over.
It just naturally flows. It's all.
But, you know, when I read the question, the first thing that I feel like God placed in my heart is the Bible verse that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means my children, too. Lean not on your own understanding. God put it in the Bible for a reason. He already knew that I was going to lean on my own understanding, you know. There is science, there is books, there is this and that. And sometimes God uses those things. But I think God wants us to lean on him.
Yeah.
And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Victoria is not in here, but I was going to use her as an example. I can talk to Victoria 4 or 5 hours at night. Sometimes we've fallen asleep on the phone. And God is no different. God wants us to talk to him, to tell him everything that we want for ourselves, for our children. You know, and sometimes it feels weird because when I talk to Victoria, I hear her voice. And when I talk to God, he's not a human speaking. He talks to my heart. But God wants that. Because the last thing he says is, and he will direct your path. That to me is a promise that God has made, that if I do the first, the second, and the third step, he will direct my path with my life, with my children, and with everything that I go to him for. So that is something that I feel like is very, just speaks to me as a mother, as a human being, as a Christian, as somebody trying to be a friend to someone, is I need to rely on God. I need to acknowledge him, but I need to obey him. Because there's times, like I said before, I don't want to. It's not my desire. It's not what I want. I have to come up here and be embarrassed, whatever it is, you know. But guys, there's a promise for me that if I do those things, God will direct my way.
That's good. That's good. Thank you. Trust in God. Madeline, how have you had to learn to rely on God as a mother?
I don't always have the right answers, and I can't always keep my kids safe. So I pray for wisdom all the time. And kind of what Nosley was saying, like, we just have to trust in God. And sometimes that's hard because it takes patience. And I never pray for patience because I've been told when you pray for patience that you're going to have some trying situation. So I don't pray for
don't
that,
pray
but
for
I still am getting
boldness.
It. Right, yeah. So I guess I do want to say that I'm very, very thankful that I have friends, like women who are friends, that are not competitive and catty. And there's a lot of women in this church. If you need a good friend, join the women's group. Get connected with some women friends because you can draw a lot of strength and wisdom from God with groups of other women who are non-judgmental and will not compare themselves to you, or you don't have to compare themselves, or you don't have to compare yourself to them. So
that's good. Thank you. So we're about to close up, so you get the last answer here, Sister Lori.
I felt like I had to rely on God in a whole new way when I lost my husband, because that balance was gone. Like, you know, I kind of questioned everything I did, and I didn't have a listening ear to say, okay, you know, maybe this isn't right. So I questioned myself a lot of times as a mom. And I just can't say how thankful I am for the men in this church who have stepped in and done boy things with my sons after Jeff passed. And I just think that only eternity will tell how much that meant to them. So
thank you. Thank you for sharing. As we wrap this up, it's interesting. The theme for this year was no greater joy, right? And, you know, I try to throw some questions in there about joy, but we didn't talk about joy that much, right? We talked a lot about trusting in God. That's interesting, right? Because I think as people, we think joy is going to come from our children. Joy is going to come from maybe if we can control every situation, or if I can have success, or if I'm winning, or if I can have these things, if I can be organized, whatever. But what we've learned in the Bible is that our joy comes from God, right? That, like, I think of Nehemiah. There's all these verses where, you know, Nehemiah, it says in there, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And you talk about it in James, and he's like, count it all joy when things are going bad, right? But really, we're talking about trusting in God here. Casey and I were talking just last night, and she put it in a really good way. Can we start with the verse and then go from there? How this works. Tell me how your thoughts on this are as we're closing up here. Romans 15:13, if they could put that on the screen. I'm going to read it, and then Casey, I'll let you share your thought here. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a word salad, right? There's a lot of hopes and joys and pieces and all this. But if we pick this apart and really get to the crux of it, Casey and I discovered something here we think is really cool. So what was your original thought here? Share this with us.
So when I read this verse, I kind of focus on where it says the source of hope. Because I feel like we've all known what it feels like to have no hope. It feels like you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, or depression, or that you don't know what the outcome is going to be. But it says that God is the source of hope. And so that's where we start. And that brings us the trust in God. It says the source of hope will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trusted in him. So he's the source of hope. We put our trust in him. And then it says that he fills you with joy. And it's not just joy, but it says you will overflow with confident hope, and our hope is the joy. And so I can substitute that joy with hope. And so I know that when God is the hope, when I know that he is the author and finisher of our faith, that he has a plan, that he has an end, a light at the end of the tunnel, that is what brings joy. The peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit telling me that there is hope, and that confident hope is the source of our joy.
It's not what you're saying is it's not this exact situation, this moment where the kids are perfect or not perfect, when they're listening or not, when they're up worshiping or not, when they're living for God or they're not. It's not when your finances are great or your marriage is great. It's that we're trusting in God, that he is guiding us in the right direction. And when we can trust in him, there's a hope in our hearts, and that hope brings joy. Not because of the exact situation we're in, but because of the path we're on.
Because I feel like when we judge that situation, when we use the world's measurement of success or the world's saying of what the progress should be, that's where we can lose our joy. But we don't have to use the world's measurement. We have confident hope in Jesus.
When we trust in him. That's so good. I think back to the verse you gave, Sister Natalie. Thank you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on what you think or know, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Wow. That's good. You know what? Let's close it up here. Before you ladies go down, I'm going to have everybody stand. Let's all stand this morning. Okay? You can stand up too. I know we handed out flowers and all that, but I also wanted to give you each something. Thank you so much for being a part of this conversation this morning. Sister Casey. Sister Natalie. Sister Madeline. If we could, I'd like to have the moms all come to the front. Moms, if you're comfortable, we're just going to pray together. We're not going to do anything weird or crazy. You can stand there quietly. No one's going to touch you if you don't want. You moms can go down too. Casey, you can stay by me. Come on down to the front. Moms, it's a reminder today that our joy comes from God. Not from our situations, not from our children. But when we put our trust in him and put our trust in his word, not what the world thinks, but what he thinks, and we follow that, there's a hope, a confident hope that fills us with joy. And so, ladies, I want to pray for you all today. I want you to pray as well. This is a chance for you to let God, maybe you haven't let God take control and you need to start trusting in him. Maybe you're going through some struggles and this is a reminder. Because when we trust God with our story, moms, he gives us this confident hope. When we just look at the story as a story and not as an event and say, I'm trusting God because I see a light at the end of the tunnel, he gives us hope. And so the rest of the church, ladies, could you come a little bit closer? We're not going to crowd these ladies, okay? But men, husbands, don't come behind your wife, but let's all just kind of nudge in a little bit behind them. Let's pray for these women. We're going to pray for these women, these mothers, these grandmothers, nanas, gagas, everybody's out here. We're going to pray that God is with you today and that you feel this confident hope as you trust in him. You don't have to go by your mom. You can just stand back further, okay? But let's pray. Let's all bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you, God, for this service. Thank you, God, for these moms, these mothers, God, that are here today. God, we know that you are the source of all joy. We know that you are the source of all hope when we put our trust in you, God. God, when we just put aside the thoughts and the things this world wants us to define as good and pleasant and helpful and successful, God, and when we focus on you, when we trust in you with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding, when we acknowledge you in all that we do, God, you're going to direct our paths. And when you're directing our paths, God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just, your word says you're going to bring hope, a confident hope into these women's lives, God, so that when things are sad or mad or changing or difficult, God, that they can still experience joy in you, God, because they know that you are the author and finisher of their story, and you have a path for them as they trust in you, God. God, I pray a blessing over every mother in this building, every mother that's listening, watching online, God. I pray, Lord, that your peace, your hope, your joy would come down into their life, God. Every step they take towards you, God, take that step back at them. Help them to see how much you love them just like they love their children. God, we give ourselves to you today, God. We lift you up today, God, knowing you are the source of hope and joy. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name. I want to thank all the ladies and my wife again. Families, find your mom, give her a big hug and kiss, and make sure to get her a flowers on the way out. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today.
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, Lord, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one we could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open all my eyes, you wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in the love that goes around me. Jesus, the only one.